Who is supposed to preach the gospel? Is the preaching of the gospel one of those things like, don't try this at home because it's better left to the experts? There are billions of people who have never heard the gospel. There are two fundamental questions to which we must understand the answers. What is the gospel? Well, a lot of people don't know what the gospel is. And the second is, what is the kingdom of God? Because as we'll see, the gospel is about the coming kingdom of God, the announcement of the coming kingdom of God being set up by Jesus Christ. So many people are not receiving the witness of the gospel. This world has not been sufficiently warned. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a very powerful outpouring of the gospel message that will come when God gives power unto his two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth, 3.5 years. You can read about that in Revelation 11 in verse 3. I want to talk about today how you and I can make the gospel, our personal gospel. Paul was not heralding a gospel different from the one Jesus Christ brought. Romans 16 in verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. So we see that it is the same gospel that Jesus taught, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. We only know that from God. We know that from Jesus Christ. One last place where the reference is to my gospel, because I want you to know that's not blasphemous. It's not overreaching. It is something that we learn from the scriptures. It's very scriptural. Paul was just saying that's part of the gospel message that he preached, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And because Jesus lives, we have hope to live. And that all goes to the preaching of the gospel. There are a lot of details that go into telling us what the gospel was, how to live the gospel, what it'll be like, what are the rules of the gospel. All of that comes together to become our gospel, or for each of us individually, my gospel. So let me make it clear that Paul was not heralding a gospel different from the one Jesus Christ brought. No, Paul taught that Jesus announced the gospel of the soon coming kingdom of God and what it's all about. Let's go over to Mark chapter 1. I want to talk about today how you and I can make the gospel, our personal gospel. And we have Paul's example. Paul internalized Christ's gospel. By internalized, I mean that Paul fully incorporated Jesus' gospel as his own personal beliefs. Paul brought it into his own value system. He made it his own life's motivation. Paul was serious about both living his life according to the gospel of Jesus Christ and preaching to everyone he came in contact with the same exact things that Jesus Christ taught. Can you and I do the same thing with the gospel? Can we say, I believe it. I believe the gospel. That the gospel Jesus taught is my personal gospel. Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And we've all heard and we know very well that the gospel is not about Jesus. It's not about Jesus walking on water. It's not about Jesus healing the blind and healing the sick. That's a gospel about Jesus, and the world spends their time on the gospel about Jesus rather than the gospel of Jesus. Jesus' gospel was about the coming kingdom of God. This world is no good. It's going to be replaced when Jesus Christ establishes the kingdom of God on this earth. Everything is going to change. The gospel of the kingdom of God is the only true gospel. But the question here that we see is, do we believe it for ourselves? Do we live it ourselves? What does it mean to live the gospel? Let's continue on here in Mark. We read verse 14, the gospel of the kingdom of God. We come to verse 15, and Jesus saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. Now, there's a command from Jesus Christ for us to believe the gospel. So what did Jesus mean by believe the gospel? Let's ask ourselves, do I represent the kingdom of God in my personal life, in my behavior towards others, in my demeanor towards all others? Do I live according to the rules of the kingdom of God even now, do I believe the gospel? Very, very important question, very scriptural question. Matthew 11 and verse 12, Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist up until now, the kingdom of heaven is acquired with an utmost struggle. It is acquired with a maximum effort. It is acquired with all of your being and strength on your part. It is only those who are most serious. It is only the most serious and dedicated ones who obtain the kingdom. We have to have an all-out maximum effort to be in the kingdom of God. And only those who are spot on, no pretense, no hypocrisy, totally dedicated, only the most serious and dedicated ones will obtain the kingdom. Many are called, few are chosen. It's not something where you just prance in or you go in with the crowd. That's not the way we go into the kingdom of God, but it must be conquered. We have to have the utmost zealous effort to obtain the kingdom. And that's who's going to attain the kingdom. Not the thousands or maybe the millions who think that they will. Let's understand, what are we doing personally? What are we doing today? We're not trying to build a corporate organization that brings recognition to its leaders. Why? Because we're already called into the greatest body there is, the body of Christ. We don't need to add anything to that. We are preaching, we are publishing, and we are living the gospel of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ wants the gospel to go again in an even more powerful way to the world, and there's some man that can handle it, and God's ready for it, and he's ready to call more out of the world, it's going to happen. But it hasn't happened in a quarter of a century. We wish to make it clear that we are not organization building. And we're not wanting to have other brethren leave the fellowship with which they attend in order to join us. That's not what we are about. We are already in the one body of Christ. Mark chapter 13. Just today, I received requests to come to Pakistan and preach the gospel. Another, come to Africa and talk with the brethren there. We are trying diligently not to cause a false hope in those who hear the message because we're not nearly able to visit all of those far-flung places. Where God is working, God will supply the need. We are a small group of Christians living in communities throughout England, Canada, and the United States, working together to promote unity with like-minded, Sabbath-keeping individuals in God's true church around the world. We believe and hope that the sincere preaching, publishing, and living the gospel that Jesus taught will help the eventual unification of God's people according to His perfect will and timing. Ezekiel 34 tells us that Jesus will unify His people when He returns. Shouldn't we be a part of that unification of the Spirit even now? Mark 13 and verse 10. This gospel must first be published among all nations. So it's been a long time since Jesus, the apostles, and the first century church, and yet this gospel has to be published among all nations. It says in Matthew 24 and verse 14, this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That's yet ahead of us. Because the true church of God is a spiritual entity, not a physical entity, but a spiritual entity. Because the true church of God is a spiritual entity, we are spiritually affiliated with all those who are striving to live their lives according to the doctrines of Christ. We count as our brothers and sisters in Christ all those who are led by God's Holy Spirit. That's Romans 8 and verse 14. That defines who's converted, who's in the church of God, who's in the body of Christ. God's true church consists of a very small number of believers in comparison to this world's vast population. Very small. And Jesus said it in Luke 12 and verse 32. Fear not, little flock. Not like the Catholic Church with their billion, or the Muslims with their billion, or their Protestants with their hundreds and hundreds of millions. Maybe they're up to a billion too. Little flock. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This world is not qualifying for the kingdom right now. We often receive requests from around the world for very noble endeavors, such as orphanages and buildings for Sabbath services. Turn over, please, to Matthew chapter 6. We could all use more supplies. We could all use more resources and money. But our faith is that God provides according to His will. God knows well our physical requirements, and He has promised to supply everything needed to perform His work. Not everything we want. Oh, yes, we want bigger buildings, better electronics, better facilities for broadcasting, more transportation, greater reach, more visibility. Those are the things we want. But God has promised to supply everything needed to perform His work. And there's a qualification. The qualifier is this. If we will seek His righteousness, that's be like Him, and seek His kingdom first. Those two things. Seek to live as Jesus Christ lived, and seek the kingdom first. That is living the gospel. Jesus said, and this is in Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God. That's the gospel. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. The things that we need. Food, clothes, a shelter, healing. The things that we have to go on. No one would look to God if we were rich and then doing great wonders. Because it would be expected, wouldn't it? But that is not how God is working with us. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. That's a truism. God is not using the Trumps and the Soroses and the people with billions and billions of dollars to preach the gospel. He could, couldn't he? But He's using the weak, the small, to confound the things that are mighty. In that day, when it is revealed who the people of God are, the millionaires, the billionaires will say, wow, they knew, and we couldn't see it. It will confound those who are mighty. In Zechariah 4 and verse 6, we see, it is not by our might, it's not by our power, we're not the ones doing it, but it is by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's how the work gets done. That's how new people are called. That's how we were called. It was the work of God. But, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we true Christians are spiritually rich. And don't doubt that for a minute. God has blessed us with the priceless knowledge of His way of eternal life. And that is what we're able to share with the world. We do not have the resources to build buildings or even visit faraway countries in most cases. But we have very much to offer. God has given us the spiritual riches, the spiritual understanding to be able to live God's way of life even now. And that's what it's about. It's not about just knowing. It's not about memorizing. It's about living the personal gospel of Jesus Christ. It's our gospel. Do we live it? Do we believe it? Even now, we have the spiritual understanding to be able to live now God's way of life. We're inheritors of the entire universe. We preach the soon coming return of Jesus Christ. We preach a warning message to the entire world. We preach that Jesus is going to set up His Father's kingdom. We are a fellowship of true believers who are endeavoring to grow toward God's moral excellence. 1 John chapter 3. Our beliefs are founded on the principles and the doctrines of Jesus Christ and the apostles and the first century church of God. It was given to us directly and correctly. We point people to God, not to any man, and not to any organization. Jesus laid down His life for us. We believe that it is a salvational matter that we learn to likewise lay our lives down for one another. 1 John 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life. That is a salvational transition because we love the brethren. That love is a godly love. We are helping one another into the kingdom of God. Let's understand what the kingdom of God is. Let's understand how it's going to work. Let's understand the love that Jesus Christ has lived and the love that we are going to live. Let's go on to perfection in the kingdom of God.